Professor Robert McCulloch joins us. New Zealand's technical recession. How did we get here and how bad really is it? Robert is from the Faculty of Business and Economics at Auckland University. Thank you for joining us on the program today, Robert. Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe. Morena.
Morena. Well, a recession, overstatement or not, why do you call this New Zealand's technical recession? It feels real to us looking for homes and putting food on the table. What's the gist of the reference to the technical recession, Robert?
Yeah, the word technical comes from this invention in economics that you have to have a contraction in output over two consecutive quarters. So our GDP, the total value of production in the country, it declined in the December quarter last year, that is October, November, December, and it also declined between January and March this year. So because it declined twice in the two consecutive quarters, that's called a recession. So it's really quite an academic kind of invention. And, you know, it's also not declined by that much. So it only went down 0.1% this quarter. So it's been in the news a lot, and that word technical recession has been used because it is based around this quite techie definition.
I just seem to see prices rising everywhere. But the term recession, it's more an economic term than one we use in the or on the street. What might you say of it? What are the implications of a recession to those who are living in our communities, many on Struggle Street?
Well, I think you're quite right that it's not so much that GDP has gone down a little bit, and also unemployment's quite low. That the number one issue that most Kiwis are concerned about in surveys is the cost of living. So, you know, you can have an economy that's not in recession and growing, but it's extremely expensive to get by day to day. And so it seems the issue is more like you identified the cost of living. It's not so much that GDP has technically declined a bit. For most folks, we're just trying to get by day to day and pay the bills. Most Kiwis do have jobs, so that's not so much the issue, but it's just paying the bills. So I think that's more the issue than the idea that GDP shrunk just a little bit this year.
What about the Māori economy for a moment, please, Robert? We're quite upbeat about how we are contributing more to New Zealand's economic future. I think last time, as a ballpark figure, about $70 billion. When we talk of recession for the wider New Zealand economy, is that the same in the Māori economy?
Well, no, it's not the same. It's a good point, because over the last decade or two, as we know, the size of the Māori economy has increased enormously. So it's certainly not the same as looking at the total size of the overall economy, which is what GDP is measuring. So we now have two measures, the total value of production of the Māori economy and the overall nation's economy. So, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to paint such a bad picture for the Māori economy. In fact, quite the opposite. It's been growing greatly. The trend has been upwards. And it's the trend that's the most important as well. For economists, these dips in GDP are often referred to as business cycles, and they've been around since the beginning of time, booms and busts. What's most important is the trend. And if the trend is going up, which it largely has been in terms of the size of the Māori economy, that's a good thing.
And the other aspect of that, I guess perhaps economics is judged by the value or what is realised at sale, whereas a lot of Māori interests have no intention of selling in for the long haul and therefore riding the economic cycles or influences. Some thoughts there?
Well, you're quite right, and it's where the focus lies. If it's over a more long-term interest, like you said, rather than sort of short-term, more myopic concerns. We got out a few years ago the founder of Wellbeing Economics, a guy called Richard Easterlin, and he strongly believes that, you know, economic growth measured by GDP is not the ultimate aim. He thinks the ultimate aim is that we're all satisfied with our lives, we have a high level of mental well-being, and his argument was that the three main drivers of that are health. Your health is very important to you, and you know how you feel day to day, obviously. Also, having a very strong, supportive family group, whānau around you, and on top of that, having a satisfying job. But the total sort of value of production, he doesn't think, as measured by GDP, is a great measure of how things are doing. So, as you say, one doesn't have to obsess about what, you know, the realized gains, or in fact, there's a lot of evidence consumerism, obsession with, you know, gaming and all these sort of things, computers that we're buying, are not necessarily even enhancing, especially a lot of children's mental well-being. So that's quite a debate now in economics. Should even the focus be on GDP?
Yeah, it's an interesting one too. And perhaps the cultural overlay then becomes even increasingly important. Do you think that the time for evaluating success, failure, trends, etc., purely from a balance sheet might have passed? And these issues of sustainability, of health, of whānau, are also very important in how we factor how we're growing as a nation. And sure, economics might be down to the dollars and cents, but there are other things that as citizens we're prioritising rather than just what we've got in the bank?
Well, I agree. There's somewhat a shift in economics in that direction. There used to be a view that, look, more production is good. Just sell more, more consumerism is good. And there's a view in my subject now that the best way of running a country, the best institutions for a country, are the ones that reflect the values and beliefs of the people. So if the values and beliefs are such that they support, you know, a strong whānau, that they support a very deep sort of attachment to the natural environment, if that's what the values and beliefs are, you should set up institutions and structures that reflect those values and beliefs. Other countries may be different. You may have countries that economic growth is enormously important to them. For example, in China now, we see sort of a big emphasis that they just want to grow fast. But different countries are different, and I think the subject has moved more to respecting the values and beliefs, you know, of the particular country.
Well, it's going to be interesting for those who are doing it tough in low socioeconomic environments. And many of our Māori and Pacifica peoples are forced into that scene. By virtue of less educational achievement, and then taking jobs that they get stuck into a cycle of being in, and it can last 4 years. So this recession, how's it going to impact those people, and when can we sense some relief might be available to them?
Well, as you say, recessions do tend to affect low-skilled folks more than high-skilled. So that's one of the striking features. So in that sense, you want to, if you can, go into a recession with as much education as you can, because you probably will be less affected. So it does put education right at the heart of things. You know, workers in sort of quite high-paying jobs tend to do quite well, even when there are these downturns. So it does put a focus on that skills and education are extremely important.